One of the things that we like to do at Christmas time is just to remind us all what Christmas is really about. And I know that the craziness of society and everything that goes on kind of reminds us of other things, but it's really about Jesus. For us as Christians, we are celebrating Jesus. And I know we can have fun with all the other things and the trappings of the season, but when it boils down to it, and you feel the holy hush that comes over this season, it's about Jesus. So here we are. Another Christmas. Another Christmas celebration at church, right? The beautiful story's been told. And I would add that it never loses its beauty. You know, ever since I was a small boy, and I've never shied away from it, Christmas has been my favorite time of year. I've always loved it. I love getting the tree together, stringing the lights. We had this thing when I was a kid called the Advent Workshop. It was in a different Christian tradition, and it was the weeks coming up. You would have a candle that you'd light every week, and you'd have a little devotional as a family. I can remember my sister Lynn sitting on the piano and playing, and we'd go through this little book together. It was very special. I always remember baking cookies with Mom. And I bet some of you have done the same thing. By the way, I received a plate of cookies this week, and they were gone like within 2 days. It was incredible. Yes. Yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We used to have Christmas programs at school even. We sang Christmas songs that included Jesus. I can remember being the ram. I wanted to be the cow for whatever reason, but I was upset I couldn't be the cow, but I had to be the ram or whatever it was in the stable. I didn't like the costume, I think. I remember our candlelight services on Christmas Eve. Some of you probably remember going to some of those. And we had a tradition where I grew up. There was a lot of Swedish, it was kind of a Swedish tradition. They'd line the streets with bagged candles on the corners. It was beautiful. And I know that right now we're kind of living in a world that's attempted to stop our celebrations. Anything is on the table. There's all kinds of manipulation that takes place. There's fear. There's all kinds of things out there. But I want to say this. You can't stop Jesus. It might be more difficult at times for us to get together and gather. Or maybe you are going into a season of life that you physically have some limitations and it makes it difficult. However those changes come about, we're still going to gather, aren't we? Why? Because the scriptures tell us to. And it says, gather even more as you see the day approaching when Jesus is coming. And I'm telling you, friends, we need to gather even more. This has been the pattern of believers for over 2,000 years. And it's still the pattern that we have today. And it's true that we do live in a world that in many ways has made Christmas about everything except for Christ. But we can choose to keep Jesus as a part of our celebrations. Amen? Amen. Oh, I hear all kinds of things that, you know, when you're out there and you're talking and engaging people, and I hope that you are, about the Christmas narrative. You know, they try to say things like, well, Jesus was born during the season where the shepherds were keeping their flocks, so he really wasn't born on December 25th. No, he wasn't born on December 25th. It was more like the spring of the year, because that would have been when the ewes had been born, requiring shepherding to take place. We also know that the wise men did not show up that night, okay? They showed up a couple years later. And I always mention this, but it doesn't take anything away from the Christmas narrative. So why December 25th? Why the wise men? Why the manger? Why the innkeeper? And why the shepherds? What most do not realize is this. Early Christians, they were attempting to influence the pagan culture. Because one of the things that was taking place is that there was this thing called winter solstice, okay? And it was a pagan ritual that was taking place. And during that celebration, there was nothing going on that was honoring Christ. And the Christians were looking for a time of year that they could actually just celebrate Jesus, and not only celebrate Jesus, but influence the culture rather than letting culture dominate and influence them. So they chose to bring Jesus in to that celebration. And today we know it as Christmas. Key elements that the Lord has shown me through the years. The wise men. The shepherds, and I talked about the shepherds quite a bit last week. They all show the diversity of all the different people that Jesus came for. The wise men and the shepherds show how Christ came for all. He didn't just come for some social elite or some religious few. He came for all people because the shepherds were the outcasts of society. Amen. They were the ones that had been kicked to the curb. They were the ones that nobody wanted to associate with, but yet they were the ones that the announcement of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came to first. I find that absolutely amazing. He came for the outcasts. And, you know, you look at the innkeeper in the narrative. The innkeeper, I suppose, points to the question to all of us. Do we have room for Jesus in our lives? You can read through that and you can hear the Holy Spirit knocking on the door of our hearts. Just in Revelation 3:20, it says that Jesus stands at the door and knocks. Now, in that particular scripture, he's talking about the church. He's talking about collectively. Will you let me in? Will you let me be part of your gatherings? Will you let me be the Lord? Okay, and not just follow a methodology, but allow me to arrange the furniture. Amen? That's the God that we serve, and I think we can also deduce that not only does he stand at the door collectively of the church, but he stands at the door of our hearts, and he knocks, and he says, will you let me in? He doesn't force his way in. We all have a free will to say yes or no to Jesus, and I pray that you say yes to him. Last week, I spoke of the prophecy that was spoken by Isaiah in chapter 9, and we sang about it this morning. His name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Mighty Prince of Peace. If there's ever a time that we need the Prince of Peace, it's now. Amen? Amen. This prophecy was spoken over 700 years before Jesus stepped foot on the earth. Amen. It was a time of great darkness. It was a time where light needed to shine. And God promised to send a light. He sent the Messiah. He sent Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 9, it says this. It says, we're told that Jesus is the light given for all men, not just the select few. In John 8, Jesus described himself as the light of the world. And unfortunately, the message of hope, the message of salvation, often gets lost amidst all of our activities and gyrations that we go through during this season. But I still want to say this, friends. God still uses Christmas to bring a clear message to mankind. Jesus came to redeem, not to condemn, to redeem. As many of you are aware, I recently began working outside of here, a little part-time gig that I'm doing right now at a store, and I make deliveries. Deliveries, you're like, what? I'm delivering flowers and pharmacy and stuff like that, and I can honestly say it's been absolutely one of the most eye-opening, heart-opening activities that I've done in a long time. People are hurting, and they're looking for hope. And I say this humbly to you, but I think for me as a pastor, it's shown me some things And there's a real serious disconnect between what we do in here and connecting out there. And I pray that as we move forward, that we will listen to Holy Spirit, and that we will all see our individual responsibility in reaching out to the world out there. Because we can put Merry Christmas on a sign, we can light this place up, we can have everything, but I'm going to tell you right now, you can do it all in here, but they're not going to come. They're going to come when you and I reach out with the love of Jesus. I will tell you that despite the things that seem like obstacles, the hurting, the desperation, the hopelessness, I could go through just a dozen this last week of individuals that I've had opportunity, people that are going through incredible things in their lives, cancerous conditions and all kinds of things that are happening. But I will tell you, despite all of that, there is an openness, because sometimes people get hardened when they go through difficulties. They say things to God like, well, why? If you're such a loving God, then why? Well, friends, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that's full of people that have free will. I understand the sovereignty of God and all of that, but I'm going to tell you this, friends. People make poor decisions. Anybody in here ever make a bad decision? I know I'm the only one, right? No, all over this room. We reap the consequences sometimes of those decisions. And we live in a world that is full of hurt and turmoil and pain. We live in a world that is full of people that do evil things to good people. But Jesus said, even though in this world you may have tribulation, you may have hurt, you may have pain, take heart. I have overcome this world, because in me you will have peace. That's what Jesus said. It doesn't mean that we're going to be immune from these things, but we have a Savior that will walk through this life with us hand in hand. And He will never leave you, and He will never forsake you, even in the darkest of times. So when people say, why? You know, in James, it says this. It says, consider it pure joy when you go through various trials and you go through all kinds of things in this life. Why? Because it develops perseverance in your heart and in your life. I'm going to tell you, there's things that I've gone through in this life and I don't feel like I can even get through them. And I know many of your stories too. But I'm going to tell you, you hung on to Jesus and I hung on to Jesus. And somehow we look back and we got through that circumstance. We didn't know how it was going to happen, but God showed up. Amen. And in the midst of it, he stripped away some pridefulness. He stripped away some dependency on different things in this world. And he showed us that he's going to take us onward and forward. Amen. Christmas is a time of year when people reflect. The end of the year, you're kind of going in from one end of the year to the next year. Amen. It's a time of year when giving, all right? I know generosity is kind of not out there, but I will tell you, at Christmas time, we do see a generous heart often out there. We see giving in hearts of people. It's thought of more than most times of the year. And even in my own life, Christmas was the time of year that God got a hold of me. He got a hold of me through a little child singing Away in a Manger at a Christmas play. Dumb old me, big old jock, athlete, all this stuff, whatever you want to call it, living for all the wrong things, partying it up, thinking I had it all together. I'm going to tell you what, I was a broken man on the inside. And all it took was a young little child singing Away in a Manger to just have this old dumb old jock just weeping. And he broke me down and he started to show me that there was something more worth living for. That happened at a Christmas play. It's a time of year when, again, hearts are tender and open. It's an opportunity, okay, to share the love of Jesus with others if we'll keep the right perspective. I will tell you, perspective is everything. And I will tell you that Christmas can also be a time when we're reminded of loss. 1991, I lost my best friend, Kevin. Car accident, drunk driver. Again, I asked the question, why? But the truth is that man chose to get behind the wheel drunk. Killed him. Killed his fiance and fiance's mother, all in the same accident. I've mentioned this many times, but I will tell you, God used that tragedy in my life. He used a tragedy in my life to point me and draw me back to Him. I don't know why that all happened. I don't know everything about it. I feel, you know, like it was just a very unjust thing. Kevin was a good guy, but we live in a world that's full of trouble. But Jesus said again, in me you will have peace. I will tell you, I tried to drown out the pain. I tried to drown it out with alcohol and everything else and relationships and running from God. But the only place I found peace was in the Savior, in Jesus. I remember in 2004, my wife and I and Cindy and our whole family, we went through and we watched Kelly's dad go through a battle with cancer. And it was tragic. Watching his body decay. And there were times in that process, even as Christians, we said, why? Why is this happening? But we hung on to Jesus. And I will tell you, there were times that we were tempted to just take our celebrations and just say, forget it. No, we knew that in Larry's heart, he wanted us to celebrate. He wanted us to he loved Christmas. He loved giving. He loved all those things. So I think that first Christmas together, I fired up the grill and we had cheeseburgers because that was his favorite thing to do. The same year, a little earlier, we lost my sister. And I'm going to tell you, it was tragic. My sister fought diabetes her whole life. And she had a simple procedure. She had that when she left the hospital, she left too quickly. And she had a pulmonary edema, and if she'd been in the hospital, it would have been taken care of. But the reality is she died. You don't think that affected our celebrations? It affected our celebrations. But again, Christmas, one of my sister's favorite times of year. God used that tragedy in our lives, though, to point us back to Him, to where we could really, truly draw strength. Do you think that it's not painful to go through those things? I know that many of you are going through very difficult things. I'm going through a real difficulty right now. I just got a report on my dad. And it hurts. It's very preliminary. But he called me just this last week and he said he's got cancer. It hurts. It's real. It's life. But I will tell you, it was tempting for me to just say, I don't even want to do this thing this weekend. But I will tell you, I'm not going to give in to the devil. I'm going to stand up and say, Jesus, I'm hanging on to you. Oh, yeah. And I know my pop, he's a fighter. And he will fight. He's probably going to be mad that I said all this. He won't be. Because it's for God's glory. I don't know how much time. He's had a good life. He's taught me so much. But you know what you start doing when you go through those things? You start looking back and you start saying things like, oh, if only I'd done this. Oh, if only I'd done that. If only I'd done this. I will tell you all, please take the time with your families. Take the time that's needed with your friends. Take the time to pour in love. Keep short accounts. Forgive one another, just as Christ has forgiven us. Love deeply and enjoy the life that we have. Doesn't mean you're never going to go through a hardship, but hang on to Jesus and let Him love others through you. Prioritize your family. Paul said in his word that a married man's first devotion is to who? The church? No, to his family. That's your first devotion. That's God's priority. And I will tell you, what I have seen since I've been out there is people are looking for real ones. They got their ideas and understanding of what the church is. They got their ideas and understanding of, well, it's just all these group of people that just get together and shine their little lights on each other and tell each other how good they are. No, friends, that's not what we're called to be. We're called to be a force in the field of life. We're not called to hunker down in here, okay? We're called to come together in here, lift up the name of Jesus, be empowered and filled up, and go out and pour out. Hallelujah. That's the church. This is not the church. You, me, we are the church. This is the church that Jesus came to die for. This is the church that Jesus is coming again to take home as his bride. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I will tell you, relationship, that's what people are looking for. They're not looking for another program. They're not looking for another activity to do. They're not looking for another service or another study. I think sometimes we are, if we're really honest about it. But they're looking for someone that will link arms with them, embrace them where they're at, love on them, and help them walk the walk towards the Savior. Friends, you don't have to be perfect. All you have to do is know Jesus in your heart and just be real. People, they all see our flaws. Why do we try to cover them up? Why do we try to think that we just got it all together? Because we don't. That's what Jesus came for. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and not glorify you, but they will glorify God who is in heaven." The truth is, we don't have to walk in darkness any longer. We have a Savior who over 2,000 years ago was born in a lowly manger in Bethlehem. He had very meager beginnings. He was the fulfillment of over 300 prophecies that were spoken over hundreds of years before he even walked a foot on this earth. He left the glories of heaven so that he could have relationship with us here in Canton, Illinois. Is that amazing? And as you walk through this life, as you walk through the difficulties, as you walk through the stuff, okay, know that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. It's a free gift. But the way to receive it is through repentance. And repentance means to change my way of thinking. I have to change my way of thinking from being self-sufficient, from being just all about me, myself, and I, and all these narcissistic ways that we all have at times. And we need to realize that it's all about him. Amen. So this morning, if you haven't given your heart and life to Jesus, it's not about me leading you in a prayer. It's not about me saying some flowery message or blessing over you. It's about you just getting real and raw with Jesus in your heart. It's recognizing that it was our sin, my sin, put Jesus on that cross. He willingly gave his life as a substitute for you and for me. And in doing so, he's not standing there condemning you. He's standing there with arms wide open, ready to embrace you just the way you are. You mean, even if I did this? Yes, even if you did that. That's the God that we serve. He does not have boundaries with his love. His love goes into the vilest places. His love goes into the crack houses. His love goes into the prisons. His love goes into places where people want nothing to do with him. And it shows up in ways that we can't even imagine. And he saves anyone that is willing to call upon his name. Amen. Amen. So I encourage you as a church body, this Christmas, remember the Savior. Remember the message, the narrative that we just read. Remember these little kids that came up and they sang their songs. And I hope that they, the anointing that's on them, man, I was just sitting over there just wiping my eyes once again because I was remembering. And remember that this is a time of year that people are open. And I hope that you're one of those people too. Let Jesus speak to you afresh. That's the way he is. He's speaking. Are we listening? Amen.